Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Leon Kurtz, the CEO of Jubilee Metals. Welcome back, Leon. How's things?
All good. Thank you, Phil. Thank you for the opportunity to have a chat again.
No problem. So Jubilee just published the H1 2023 financial report, obviously showing revenues and EBITDA of 10.3 million, strong net cash flows from operating activities of 16.9 million. Company experienced a 20% increase in PGM production from the South African operations and has exceeded chrome operation guidance despite power outages. The Roan copper concentrator is back on track, reaching 80% of full capacity following water and power outage issues. The company has implemented infrastructure improvements to mitigate future challenges. The integrated Southern Copper and Cobalt Refining Project demonstrates Jubilee's ability to produce both metals from waste materials, laying the groundwork for the refined Northern Copper and Cobalt Refining Project. The multi-commodity operational footprint provides flexibility and strategic value amid volatile metal markets. Sounds very promising indeed, Leon.
Thanks, Phil. Yes, certainly we've had our challenges, but if you look at exactly as you've just done, what is Jubilee today and where are we going? It sketches a picture of a company on the one hand in South Africa delivering results, delivering strong cash flows that actually was the key funder in developing this footprint we now have in Zambia. I mean, if you put the two combined and you actually unpack those numbers, the revenue numbers, the earnings numbers you've just read out, it's all just from the South African business. Yet we have this second business fully funded, debt-free, fully constructed, now going through its paces and up to 80% of its capacity is already. So one can now expect, what is this additional revenue and earnings that is added to what we've just released as our numbers? Because we might as well have sliced out Zambia and just released South Africa. South Africa on its own right have delivered to target and beyond. Its costs is so strictly under control. Its margins are very healthy. And of course, South Africa is growing. It's not as if it's reached a point where it's got no further growth. As we allude to in that announcement, South Africa is going to continue growing. It's got such a great success behind it, such respect in the market, that is bringing opportunities to it to grow and fund from its own cash flows. But yes, the monster that now has to be awoken is this capacity we've built, constructed, commissioned, and now ramping up in Zambia. Totally accept the frustration that it's roughly 4.5 months late with what it had to address, fix on behalf of an authority that couldn't deliver the power and water they had contracted to deliver, taken it on into our scope, and now we own that infrastructure. And now we're going to roll that out. You know, if you look at just the 10,000 ton copper capacity we've got, if we fill that capacity to today's prices, that adds another 70 million pounds of revenue. That doubles our revenue, we've just stated, just from the copper. Never mind the cobalt, which we've also built and constructed. So we're really at that point now where we had hoped to be earlier in the curve, no doubt. We had hoped to be there last year, October already, but we're there now to start delivering into that capacity and actually deliver that next big bump in our revenue, as we told shareholders I would.
So just to remind people, what sort of asset values have been put in the ground, both in South Africa and in the two places in Zambia? I mean, what did those assets worth?
Yeah, no, if you look at just the last two financial periods, you know, last year we touched on nearly 50 odd million pounds of investment going just into what we already had built, capitalizing it, renewing it in South Africa. Just this year alone, nearly 30 million pounds gone in just this year. That's not what we've bought. That's just the capital we've spent in a 12-month period and a 6-month period. Before that, we already had a refinery in Zambia and a PGM facility and 3 chrome facilities in South Africa. So if you start adding up that inherent plant and equipment capacity value, we probably are equaling and beyond our market cap just on the physical operational footprint we have implemented in South Africa and in Zambia. And critically, there's no security over them. There's no debt over them on these assets.
We've got about between 60 and 70 million coming from the PGMs. But at the same time, we've seen gold and all of that, those PGMs go up in the last few days, even 3-4%, which obviously makes a massive difference to your bottom line as well. But putting that to one side, are we expecting that we will have revenues of at least 65 million from the copper as well?
Oh, absolutely. If you look forward over a 12-month period, copper comfortably comes in at doubling up those revenues over a 12-month period with the capacity we've installed. Especially at today's prices, easy calculation, you take 10,000 tons per annum capacity, which we now have installed, paid for, and ramping up at today's prices, that alone is more than $85 million of revenue on copper alone. That excludes cobalt and the cobalt capacity. Yes, cobalt prices have come off, but we saw last week, what does one trade in cobalt do for cobalt prices as China is starting to wake up? China started to nibble back into cobalt. You know, they went dead on cobalt for 3 months. That's why cobalt prices pulled back. No one was buying cobalt in any great quantities, but that's not sustainable. We know this Chinese manufacturing construction industry typically restarts in April. That's a couple of weeks away, and we can see it coming through the last couple of days as larger orders are coming through, and every one of these orders have a direct impact on cobalt to show how unsustainable the prices were leading up to this point. So cobalt is rearing to go on the back of a China waking up slowly, domestic demand coming back into China. And of course, that pulls up many other metals with it. Look at your PGM prices. PGM prices is regarded as luxury. It's cars and it's jewelry. But it takes a very little indication out of China to demonstrate its domestic demand growing for PGMs to reflect that. It's always the metal that tracks sentiment on global economies quite closely. And China will lead that with its results coming out.
Okay, so what sort of, I mean, maybe this is a not possible to really come up with a figure, but the EBITDA on that extra 60 million, 70 million pounds is going to be what? You know, what is the margin going to be on that? As you say, there's no more costs to pay. You're literally doing the processing of the copper.
Yeah, so, I mean, we haven't given guidance on earnings, but what we have done is if you look at our numbers, we've indicated previously that our copper all-in cost, we have budgeted for an all-in cost of copper around about the $5,200, $5,500 per ton of copper cathode, acid driving that directly. At today's prices, copper is roughly $8,700 a ton of copper cathode. So you can see your margin is running just over $3,000 a ton of copper cathode under the scenario.
But when we visited the plant, and I have the little cap of copper here in front of me, they were saying that you would get a premium for this because this is 99.9% copper.
Yes, it's critical part. And I've explained that a few previously and sometimes forget to reinforce that. Why we commission so, in many people's views, slowly up to 100% of our capacity is because at every step, we have to ensure that we maintain your statement that our copper cathode is premium grade copper cathode, which then attracts LME plus a margin. So we are offered a premium on every ton of copper cathode we make because of that quality. And that's why we operate for roughly 10 to 12 days at every step up of our own concentrator to make sure that the refinery maintains that copper quality.
Okay, great. When you look at Jubilee Metals from, you know, just the sheer figures, and you have a market capitalization of 200 million, and that has come down drastically from 350 million over the last few months, really because of the past, the outages, and yet that doesn't seem to have affected you as drastically as it looks, or as people thought from the figures. And now you're looking at basically Jubilee times two, at least with the production in Zambia. So, you know, what guidance do you give people, or what reasons would you give people to jump in at this sort of price? You know, we're in the sevens, 200 million market capitalization. Quite obviously, you're worth significantly more than this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kevin, if you just to take a step back, you're quite right. You know, even if we had not been impacted by the power and water infrastructure collapse, now refixed and it's all running perfectly well in Zambia, the copper component of our company was only really projected to be roughly 15% only of who we are as Jubilee at that time. In our results, as you saw, copper only contributed 7% to total revenue, yet the full capacity has been built and is ready. So if ever there's a time where a company has funded, built, and is commissioning the project and already at 80% of its capacity in commissioning. It is a South African business, fully operational, and as in the market, stated it's going to make its targets in the South African side. And everything we now do on copper and in cobalt is in addition to our revenues and earnings we have declared. So everything from here on forward is actually utilizing a capacity of copper and cobalt yet to come into our financial numbers, but fully paid for and commissioned. That's where Jubilee is at this stage. And when you unpack, as you've just done, that asset value, that cash generating potential these assets hold against our market cap, it seems senseless.
Yeah, you're trading 1.5. You will be trading 1.5 times forward revenue, which it seems bizarre. And, you know, if the EBITDA is, you know, even doubled on the copper, and I actually think it will be more than that, but anyway, you know, 22 million, then you're basically on a PE of less than, well, about 9, which seems, again, for a company expanding.
That PE is only for a 6-month period. If you add the 12 month.
It's 40 million. Yes, 44 million.
Yes, yes.
So the PE is even more ridiculous than it's less than 5. And that doesn't factor in the fact that you're going to expand in Zambia. I mean, we were there. It's quite obvious that what's happening and what you're going to do in terms of Rowan and any AN other opportunities, it's going to expand. So there's going to be more. I mean, when just for the listeners so they understand how orientated Zambia is towards copper, there's only one main road in Zambia, and all you ever see on that road is huge trucks carrying big plates of copper, you know, to the ports and to be sold. I mean, it was really shocking for me to see anyway, that, you know, this really is a mining jurisdiction, and copper is a huge part of this country, a huge part.
Absolutely.
And there are tailings everywhere that you guys are gonna basically be able to process.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's just to the point where the president on his tour through the Copperbelt spoke of us, spoke of the waste projects. In the Zambian times, without our even involvement or even checking with us in Zambia, they printed the next project that they were hoping Jubilee will be successful in executing, because the buy-in and even reliance in certain aspects of that industry on our success and the strategic goals they've set for themselves is clear, because of what we do. It's a physical. We pump so much back into the communities where we operate to ensure buy-in and support. And absolutely, I mean, Zambia is a copper-driven economy.
Yeah, and I predict that based on what we saw and the discussions we had with the various different people, that I think your revenue is very likely to match your current market capitalization by the end of 2024, which is only 20 months away or whatever.
It's actually easy to calculate. You know, we've said 2024, we're targeting 25,000 tons of copper. That's the target we've set for ourselves. Just that alone matches our market cap. That excludes cobalt. It takes out even PGMs as a contributing factor. So you can see where we are going at the moment.
Yeah.
We are progressing.
It's not like me, but I obviously undersold the thing. So obviously there's going to be a lot more.
Yeah, it's just that we are at, if you look at our company and you were to plot the curve of Jubilee on PGMs, you know, we started off at so small. We were doing roughly 30,000 tons of material into our facilities per month back in 2017. Today, we do 240,000 tons a month into our facilities. That's the growth that South Africa saw that delivered this business. And that's exactly what we're now doing in Zambia. The South is simply a demonstration of what's to come.
And are you also looking, Leon, for exploring other opportunities all the time, you know, looking at different jurisdictions and areas around Africa?
We are full. I mean, for us, of course, first and foremost is bear down the performance, bear down and fill the capacity we've built. But absolutely, when our business development team are in various jurisdictions looking at various opportunities. We have some of the largest mining companies, which I can't wait to actually tell people who they are, that have asked us to review what they've got to build their waste portfolios for them. We have, you know, if you stand back, we already do the world's largest chrome company. We have one of the world's largest mining companies already asking us to complete their current waste portfolio review. One of the companies in Zambia, one of the largest copper producers in Zambia, came out into the media and informed via the media that they are contracting with us to look at their waste portfolio. So very much so, we have no intent of simply stopping where we are. We accept that we had such a small bump in the road, if you put it into perspective, that we had to overcome.
Yeah, and you say, you know, you've overcome those issues. Now it makes you stronger, doesn't it? You come out the other side being stronger and knowing for the future. And it's exciting. I'm sure you're excited about what lies ahead.
Oh, we are. Our team is so fired up. You know, for the Zambian team, for them, they are tasting their success. They can see how close they are to actually deliver. Because you can imagine, we are a competitive company. It's not fun to be in an Exco committee and the South African team is getting all the glory and the Zambian team is being asked for when are they delivering. So they are there and they can't wait to actually be that company in our Exco group to show that they've actually caught up and exceeded the South African operations.
All I can say to you is that good luck with the execution of this, which seems to be well on track. Yes, there's been delays. I don't think you could have done much about those, to be absolutely honest, but the future looks extremely, extremely bright. And we look forward to speaking to you again in the near future.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks. Thanks, Kevin. Absolutely. I mean, there's not a more committed team than at the moment in Zambia to actually be proudly and bring these results forward. And we are all impatient for it.
Leon Kurtzer, CEO of Jubilee Metals, thanks very much for your time.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Thanks so much.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.